Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, Music Director at KC Cafe Radio. Today I have the great pleasure of chatting once again with a very good friend of KC Cafe Radio, who just happens to be extremely talented, Lucy Billings. Lucy recently released her third album titled Carry the Water. On Carry the Water, Lucy examines life's questions and struggles as a keen observer with a soft heart. Carry the Water has already had a lot of chart success in just the few months it's been released. Lucy, thanks so much again for talking with us here on KC Cafe Radio.
Hi, Kathy. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
I'm so glad that you could take the time and talk with us. I know we've been trying to connect for a few months now, and finally we're connecting. So.
That's great.
Yeah, so this is your third album. 2006 Open Air was your first CD, and then you had a CD that you recorded with John Jennings. What year was No Other Road?
No Other Road was released in 2011.
Okay. And then and then 2014 is Carry the Water. Why do you think you connect so well with John Jennings? What is it about his producing style that you keep coming back with him to work with?
Well, John, in addition to just being an amazing, you know, multi-instrumentalist and producer, and just so talented in terms of his ear and his amazing musical skills, I always feel like I always tell him that he gives my songs wings. I think John just really, with the song, the way I write and the way I sing, John has a great ability to bring out the best, I think, you know, he puts the songs and the vocals like right in front. And he always says that's what his role is.
Mm-hmm.
It's to really highlight the songs and the singer. Mm-hmm. And he has a way of just looking at each song and deciding what's best for that particular song, whether it's for some songs fairly sparse production and other songs a lot more production and a lot more instrumentation. He's just so masterful in his ability to hear, you know, things that can really sort of add to the song and so that the production is consistent with what the song is trying to convey.
Right. Yeah, he's John Jennings, for those who might not know, is well known for his producing of Mary Chapin Carpenter and a lot of her Grammy-winning songs and albums of the past. I can hear a similarity in the way he produces her and you as well, because I think in some ways your songs, not necessarily your vocal styles or anything like that, but your songs have this very personal, emotional tint to them, and I hear that in both of your songs, and I think that's why he gravitates toward you, because your songs are so personal and emotional, and they always strike a nerve whenever you listen to them.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. Thank you so much. And I think that's correct in terms of the, you know, similarity and the types of themes and the depth of the songs.
Yeah, and one of my favorite tracks on it, and I have to admit to you, I cried every time I hear this song, is called Asking You Why, and it's one that you wrote with John. What was his role in writing that song?
That was a song that I'd started and brought into, it was one of those, I think I brought in about 16 songs into the project, and when it came to time to work on Asking You Why, I was recording the vocals, and I came back in the control room, and John said, he said, well, I'm with you really the first and second verse in the bridge. He said, but then you kind of lost me. So we talked more about it, and then we decided that we would kind of combine our efforts and make some changes to the song and really try and make it the best that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat down and I don't know, we spent not too long, maybe an hour, and we spruced up the bridge and the verses and the chorus. I think the chorus we kept pretty much the same. And then I went in, and then I remember, because I had my guitar and I was sitting there on the couch, and John said, okay, why don't you sing it through? Sing the new version for me. And I sang it. And when I got to the third verse, I just got all choked up and I started crying.
Yeah.
And he sort of nodded his head and Bill said, yeah. So yeah. I went back into the recording room and recorded the vocals. And I definitely think that the combination of John, you know, working with John and on that song really helped.
Yeah,
to make it even stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. And I encourage people to tune into Casey Cafe Radio and request that song, because it's such an amazing song. Like I said, I cry every time I hear that song. Is it typical of you to be working on a song up to the right last minute of recording it, or was that sort of an anomaly?
No, it's not typical of me. I generally try and come into the making a record pretty prepared with songs, most of the songs finished. And this song was I'd written it, but we just decided to make changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carry the Water was a song where I had not finished the song. And I'd been trying to finish the song. I had all these materials that I had collected that I was reading, because I when I came up with the idea for that song, I was so excited because it was so different in terms of what I normally write. But because it was about water and it was about Africa and underdeveloped countries and the struggle to obtain water, and I didn't want to be presumptuous in writing it. I wanted to kind of take the right approach, and I wanted to be careful when I wrote the song. Not that I'm not careful about all my songs, but I was writing about something that wasn't, I didn't know it well. And
right.
So I did a lot of research, and I remember I would carry all these things. I had my sister send me a whole bunch of articles, and I did a lot of research, and I would carry these things with me on the plane, and I would read them, and then I would work on words. And so finally, when I got to the studio and we had that song, we had to record that song. And I remember saying to John, I don't know if I can finish this song. And he said, oh, we're going to finish it. Trust me. It's going to be on the record.
Not only are we going to finish it, it's going to be the title track.
Yeah, and I said, okay. And then the very last day when I came in and we had the remaining vocals to do, and it was either the last day or the second to last day, and I said, I still haven't finished this song. And John said, well, okay, you write this, I'll write this. And we'll come back in an hour and see what we've done. And then that's what we did. And then we looked at the lyrics and went, okay, I think we finished it. And I went in and recorded the vocals, and that was that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful that we were able to work on that song together, because I think that it was just the right title track and just the whole, I mean, it just set the tone, I think, for the whole record, and really, you know, just kind of a big concept in terms of my writing of the song.
Yeah. And what was the initial inspiration for that song?
I think it was conversations with my sister, Linda, who spent a lot of time in Africa. Her husband was in the Foreign Service and also the Peace Corps. And she had talked to me about some of the work that she had done, where she had gone to different villages and listened to proposals for trying to get funding. And then she would, you know, she would gather a lot of information and they try to make decisions about which villages should get what funding for what projects. And it was so amazing to talk to her and to see her photos and realize all the things that we take for granted that so many people don't have. And I don't know that we talked a lot about water, but we talked some about water and other things. And one morning I was in one of my, I write every morning, I wander around my kitchen with my guitar. That's where I do most of my writing, is in the kitchen. And I was drumming away, and I got this kind of cool drumming rhythm. And I just, the Carry the Water, Carry It Home came out. And I thought, I kind of stopped and went, interesting. Where's that coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So I played around with it some more, and then I got the melody, and then I kept coming back to this, you know, Carry the Water.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my sister and I said, I think I just started this song that you inspired based about water and in Africa. And I said, send me information on it? And so she did. Yeah. And so that's kind of how this song came about.
Mm-hmm. The song, I don't know, maybe I might be wrong here, but to me, the song is one a more socially aware song. And I don't know that you do that a whole lot in your songwriting. Do you agree?
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. I haven't up to this point. I'm doing more of that now, but I typically haven't been, you know, political songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and not as much in terms of social awareness, more sort of story songs and then songs about universal kind of struggles that people have on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say probably the two socially aware songs of the record are the first track and the last track, Carry the Water and Stay Blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would say. And I don't know, I'm writing for the fourth record now, and I'm not sure how, I don't know how those songs will shake out as far as types of songs. Don't know yet.
Do you think there's a reason why you're writing more socially aware songs, or is it just an evolution in your songwriting?
Probably an evolution of my songwriting, and maybe something that, I don't know. I think I really have to feel, I mean, something has to really resonate with me for me to be able to carry it forward in the song. And also, I have to feel like I can manage a certain topic effectively as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And there, in fact, I'm thinking a lot about that right now as I work on. I'm just writing a lot right now, and there are a lot of things that I want to write about that I don't know if I can. I'm not sure that I can write about. I mean, there's so many things that, as we know, that we're seeing and experiencing, and I mean, there's just so much. There's a lot of, there are many things that are very, very troubling, very disturbing. And there's things that I'm thinking about a lot more than I used to. And I'm thinking, I really want to write about this, but I've got to figure out how I'm going to write about it, because if something's been more challenging for me to write. And I think the socially aware songs for me are more challenging because I don't know it as well. And there's a higher degree of, scrutiny.
Yeah.
Than if I just said, you know, I went through this experience, and like Wyoming. I mean, I know Wyoming.
Yeah.
Wyoming, and that Daddy's Last Drive, and Let's Not Say We Did, all those songs. I mean, I know that.
Right.
I know that. And so, but there are other areas where I don't know them as well. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and you really need to have a point of view when you're writing a socially aware song or a political song. I mean, people have to be clear about where you're coming from, I think, sometimes in those songs.
I think so, too. And you know, and people tell me this, and I think it's true. I try and be really honest as a songwriter, but I'm also careful. I'm a careful person, and I'm careful about what I say. So I feel like there's a certain responsibility that I have.
Yeah, and you don't want to alienate your listener and by saying something that they might disagree with or be.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I know when I'm working on a song, I mean, sometimes I'll get annoyed and I'll write a song that's real bitter and caustic. And then I pick the song up and I go, come on, are you kidding me? Because it's not me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and I know my authentic meters are pretty accurate, and they just, you know, it doesn't mean I don't write something just to get something off my chest, but whether the song ever goes out the door, it has to be really authentic. And I'm a kind person,
mm-hmm.
and so I think that goes into my writing as well, is just, that's just how I am, and it's how I create.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the songs that shows your kindness is God's House. Can you tell me a little bit about that song and where that came from?
Sure. Yeah, that's a real favorite of mine, and it's just a wonderful story. And the story kind of keeps going, too. So my sister lives in Virginia and has two friends that bought a church years ago and turned it into a house, as the song says. And it was a few years ago when I was visiting my sister, I went over to their house for a Halloween party. And Ed, the person who, the husband, which was telling me all these stories about the church and kind of showing, because I thought it was so neat. It's a small church. And I was thought it was so great that they were living there and they turned it into a house. And he was telling me all these funny stories about how people still came to the church, to the house church, thinking that, you know, and wanting to come in and telling stories about how they used to go to church there. And his son actually had gotten married there. So they actually had turned the house back into a church so that his son, they could have the wedding there. And he had all these pictures of the wedding and I thought it was so great. And I said to him, I just laughed. I said, Ed, you know, I'm going to have to write a song about this. and he said, well, I hope you, he said, I hope so. And so when I got home from Virginia, it was one of the easiest songs, or not easiest, but one of the fastest songs I've written in a while. I just took my guitar and the song kind of tumbled out. And
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. It's so great. It happens so rarely that it's wonderful when it does. I think for me, it happens more with the story song because the story is already there. And so you at least have a story and it's just figuring out how to write it. And so I wrote the song. And then after I'd written it and recorded it, I had a chance. Well, actually, then I had a chance to sing it for Ed and Kim and Ed. Ed got all teary and he said, oh, you got me. And that was such a wonderful compliment.
Yeah.
And so now, so this summer we had the first concert at God's House and we decided we'd make it an annual event.
That's wonderful. I love that.
Yeah.
We're playing 7 tracks from Carry the Water, which for us at Casey Cafe Radio, that's a lot of tracks for me to play from one CD, but I just love the whole CD and I wanted to, you know, let people hear all the amazing songs that are on this CD. You recorded this CD at the same studio we recorded your last CD. Is there a reason for that?
Well, first I want to say again how grateful I am and appreciative that you're playing 7 tracks. I just think that's so wonderful and I'm really honored by that. As far as the place, we recorded some of the basic tracks in Nashville at the Quad Studio and then the rest at John's studio outside of Charlottesville. I think we recorded it there because, I mean, that's where John, you know, was working, and it was always a very comfortable place for me to record, especially doing vocals. I just really liked recording at that studio, and I guess if it works, it's good to repeat it.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it, right?
yeah, and I love Charlottesville, so.
Yeah. So the musicians you used, did they record live with you or did they come in the studio separately?
They all, when we put down the basic tracks, Harry Skinson and James Brown and Vincent Toro were in the studio with us at the Quad in Nashville. And then other than that, it was John and I. So, yeah, we're only the 5 of us on the record, I think, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, it's a small group.
Yeah, and John did so many of the tracks himself, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And so that was fun, but it was very fun to actually be able to record live with Harry and James and Vinny.
You said that the basic tracks were recording in Nashville, and I know you recently moved to Nashville. Is that the reason why you wanted to move to Nashville, was to be closer to the, you know, the big-time recording people? Or
I think the reason, people always ask me, what brings you to Nashville? I always wanted to come to Nashville, having visited it quite a bit. For me, being a songwriter, I think it's a place where I can grow a whole lot. Just because there's so many opportunities to be around and possibly work with and meet and hear and learn from so many great songwriters and artists. So that was my goal in coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have major expectations of particular things happening for me because I generally don't approach my music that way. I have goals, but I have goals and I have expectations of myself, but in terms of expectations of things happening to me, I don't spend a lot of time on that. But I'm really thrilled about the possibility here of being able to grow as an artist And also, I just like this area. Nashville, I think it's a wonderful place. I've really enjoyed it so far. Mm-hmm. And I have family in Virginia, and so I'm able to be closer to my family.
Yeah.
And it's just been a lot of fun. And I think for me, it was, I've been in California for 20 years, and going through this major transition and really making a whole lot of changes at once was pretty amazing. I mean, it was hard. There's no question. It's been challenging, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be really, really good for me. I mean, it already is starting to be good for me, but I haven't yet fully realized, I think, the impact of the transition.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I will realize that for a while, but I think it's going to be really good for me because
yeah.
it's sort of put me into a whole different situation, and I think there's no way I can't help but really grow from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're already an amazing songwriter, so I don't know how much better you can get.
But I'm looking forward to more great stuff from you.
You moved there and you have horses. I know you're a big horse lover and a big horse person, and you were able to bring your horses with you?
I did. I have a couple horses that I brought with me. I've got one of my older horse that I ride quite a lot is about 20 minutes away, and I'm thrilled about that. He's a soulful animal. I just absolutely adore this. I'm just head over heels with this horse. You've probably seen pictures of him on Facebook.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
he's a big liver chestnut, and he's taught me a lot. I have learned a lot from this horse, so I'm thrilled to be able to be so close to him and be able to see him a lot.
Yeah.
And then I have two horses. My younger horses are in North Carolina.
Okay.
And they're in a wonderful place as well. And then I kept my mare out in California, and she's actually expecting a foal in April.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Her third one. So
wow.
I'll be out there for the birth, and I'm hoping by some miracle that it's born on my birthday.
Oh, that would be nice.
I think that would be a nice birthday present.
So can they tell at this point whether there's a boy or a girl?
I don't know. My vet says that if the baby, the foal is positioned a certain way, that at a certain point she can use ultrasound and determine the sex,
uh-huh.
but it has to be positioned a certain way. We're going to try it, but not sure whether that will yield any information. And there are all sorts of myths about if the mare does this, or I have this friend who
examples
and sort of a keychain or something, and if it moves in one direction.
Right. It's like the old wives' tales with pregnant women, too. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll probably just be surprised. She's had two boys, and so I'm kind of hoping for a girl, but if it's a boy, I'll be thrilled, I just want a healthy horse.
Yeah.
Healthy foal.
Yeah.
But it'd be sort of neat to get a girl, I think.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a girl.
Yeah.
you made a video a couple years ago for Micah Bio, which is about a horse, which is a beautiful video.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look
mm-hmm.
it up on YouTube. Do you have it up on your website as well?
I do. Yeah,
okay.
It's still on my website, definitely.
Yeah, it's lucybillings.com, so go check that out. Are you going to do any more videos? There's a lot of great songs on this new CD, I think, that would really go well with a video. Like Wyoming would be a great video, I think.
I love doing videos. I think for me, it becomes a little bit of a budgetary thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have done made a video to Carry the Water.
Okay.
And that's going to be part of a fundraising initiative that I'm working on now. So stay tuned for that. There'll be more information coming on that. But that's going to be kind of a video that I'm going to use in collaboration with some fundraising efforts.
Great.
And I'm real excited about it. I worked with a gal here in Nashville, two people in Nashville that are amazing. And
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about it. So stay tuned for that. There'll be more information coming in the next few months about that project.
Okay. Great, yeah.
I was also working on a video for Asking You Why.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
But I agree with you. If I could make videos of half the songs on the CD, I would.
Yeah.
Because I love videos, and I think they're so powerful.
Yeah, videos, I mean, ever since MTV made it cool to have a video, I think it's a really good way to convey a song and get people to recognize it. You know, there's certain groups I don't think that would be around today if it weren't for their videos.
I agree. It can be very, very powerful.
So are you going to tour with this CD, or you got any plans to tour?
I'm not going to be touring with this CD. I had to make that decision given the fact that I was moving and going to be in a transition for quite a while. And so I'm not touring. I'm focusing on some of the Folk Alliance conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be going to NERFA in November. And, of course, Folk Alliance International in February. I'll get to see you.
Yay!
And Kathy, and that'll be wonderful. And I'll probably have a few gigs here and there. I'd like to do a sort of a reunion show in California, maybe when I'm out there next April.
Mm-hmm.
I think my plan is that I'm going to hopefully record CD number 4 next summer. My goal was to release my 4th CD within a year and a half to 2 years after Carry the Water. So I'm looking at early 2016 for a release of the next record. And then I'll be planning a tour around that. So what I may end up doing is just trying to do some touring in late 2015,
mm-hmm.
you know, summer and fall of 2015. It's weird to be talking about 2015.
Yeah, I know.
So I think I will be doing some touring, but it's probably going to be around the next album.
Okay. And you're writing furiously for that right now.
I am. Well, I'm always writing. I mean, I just write all the time. I'm writing in my head all the time, and I write every day. I write something. It doesn't mean that it ends up in a song, but I'm always writing either a verse or a chorus or a couple lines or a melody.
Mm-hmm.
The result of the move and just a lot of things that have happened in the past year around the move and letting go of my house in California and all that has really been an immense amount of subject material.
Yeah, there's no shortage of material for you to write about. So,
and also just, you know, I always listen to other people. I mean, someone will say something and I'll think, oh, wow, that's a great hook. Or I read something or I think about something that I say that I hear about going on. And it's like an archaeological dig for my psyche. Because I've gone back and things have surfaced that I haven't thought about in a while. And I've written about them. I mean, I'm working on a song for the new record that's about something that happened to me on the playground when I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I've never forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this group of girls that came up and told me things that were really painful to hear.
Yeah.
And I never forgot it. And I think it had an impact on me. And it's come out in a song after all these years.
Mm-hmm. So something positive come out of something negative from your childhood, finally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think when we talked before, I mentioned that I call this place in my head kind of the germinator, because I'm just always, this idea is always being put into the germinator. Then songs will start, I guess, when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a melody that I'm playing with a particular song concept, it's suitable for a particular song theme, and then they just kind of join up. I don't know how to explain it. It's just the way it happens.
Yeah. So do you have songs that you start and you keep back in a drawer in the back of your mind, and then you bring them back out and work on them every once in a while? Or do you tend to just keep working on the same songs?
No. I'm great at starting songs. I start songs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably start a lot more songs than I finish. But I'm typically working on about 5 to 7 songs concurrently. And
wow.
when I practice and when I write in the morning, I'll sort of skip from song to song. I don't know if that's because when I was practicing lawyer, I had to skip around. I was drafting contracts and I'd have to skip around from project to project. And I got very used to skipping around. And
mm-hmm.
I can work on something for 20 minutes and work on something else. And it never bothered me. I was always able to kind of pick back up. And so I tend to do that with songs. I kind of fill in, like for a song, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle where I get pieces. And then the more pieces, I just kind of start filling in the pieces. And then I'll edit here. And I kind of just build the song out.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have songs that I started and then I put aside, and then I'll go back and go back to my files and say, oh, there's that melody that I came up with, or I'll say, I was thinking about somebody today, and I thought, I think this is, I have to go back and find that song I wrote. That might be a song that I might want to bring back out and write with this person in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do go back to songs. And sometimes I treat for my creative side like I would a kid, in that I try and I'm very gentle with it. I kind of try and coax it out, but I don't really impose a lot of rules on myself.
Yeah. Well, for me as a songwriter, I get come up with titles a lot of times, but I don't know what to do with the title. And so I'll just leave the title and set it aside. There was a song I wrote after my adopted mother passed away. It was called Someone Else's Voice in My Room. And finally, I realized that's what that song needs to be about. And so that's why I wrote the song about was that whole, you know, not knowing her a whole life and then knowing her at the end of her life. So, yeah. So song titles can do that to you.
Yeah, that's a great song title. And it sounds like that's a great hook.
Yeah. So I understand what you mean about putting things aside and coming back to them later, because that song I probably had put aside for 20 years before I finished it. So.
Yeah. Well, you know that song on my second record, Daddy's Last Drive. For about 2 years, all I had was the line, "He left this world in his own way, Daddy's Last Drive."
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. And I even have a little scrap of paper that I saved that has those lines on it. And it took me about 2 years to really build out the song.
Yeah, that's a great song. I love that song. I love it when you played it live for us at the Folk Alliance conference, and that was a lot of fun. So people can go to the archives and check that out and hear it from the Folk Alliance conference back in February.
Well, thank you. Well, it's wonderful. I mean, I love playing my songs for people. It's especially wonderful when you're playing for people that know the songs and have been so supportive of you, and you've had conversations about the songs, and they're singing along, and they have particular favorites, and it's like the energy circle.
Yeah,
it's not like the energy is just sort of going out. It's like the circle that's coming back. To you and going back out to them and coming to you, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I loved having you in our room and playing for everybody, and hearing those songs live was just really a lot of fun for me and for the rest of us too.
That was a blast. That was just one of the highlights of Alliance International for me. It's been a new showcase.
Well, great. Well, we'll hopefully you'll be back next year then. we'll get to hear some of these songs on Carry the Water live then as well.
Most definitely.
Well, Lucy, thanks so much for talking with us today. I want to mention one more time, your website is lucybillings.com. That's LucyBillings.com. And you can also check out Lucy's music at Reverb Nation. And you can buy her stuff and download it at CD Baby and iTunes. And anything else you want to mention there?
No, I don't think so. Just that I just love KC Cafe Radio and you and Kathleen and John and the wonderful folks there. Thank you so much for your awesome support of indie artists.
Well, you're welcome. We're so glad we have people like you that we can present to the world. We're happy for your success, and I know you're doing really well with this new CD. It's getting a lot of airplay on a lot of radio, as well as KC Cafe Radio. I saw the list of radio stations that's playing songs from it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I've been so grateful. I just got word that they're playing. And an Irish DJ just wrote me today and said they're playing Wyoming on her show tonight.
Oh, that's fun.
it's so neat. It's just one of the really wonderful things. It's kind of like, wow, that little song is going to go out to some people in Ireland.
Yeah, they probably couldn't point Wyoming out on a map.
But but thank you so much for talking to me today and for everything you do.
Well, you're so very welcome. One more time, lucybillings.com, and check her out on CD Baby and iTunes. Download her music there, and you can always request it on kccaferadio.com. I'm Kathy Forstie, music director at kccaferadio.com. Thank you for listening.